Oh, today is one of those days it's hard to be a preacher because I really want to be with my wife while she laments. And so leaving her at Sam and June's house and coming to work, I was like, man, this is the part I hate the most. But I'm here this morning because I believe that God has called me with a sacred calling to do this task, or else I wouldn't be here. So if you wonder why I'm here, it's because God called me here. If you wonder why I'm not at home, it's not because I don't love my wife, because I desperately love my wife. But God has called me to this task. All right, we're talking about a mustard seed. And what Carla said, it's the middle of the week. What are you preaching about this week? I said the mustard. She says, that parable's always confused me. And then she started talking about the place in Matthew 17 where Jesus says, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. She said, I have the faith that's at least the size of a mustard seed, and I don't get to move any mountains. And I says, yes, that's a different story. But I'm not sure this one's not confusing as well. There's a movie out that I'm not going to recommend to you because there's times when it feels like it's almost heretical. A Monty Python movie called Life of Brian, and Jesus is actually in they have footage of Jesus preaching at the Sermon on the Mount, and the people are in the very, 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 very back of the crowd, and Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, and they can't hear very well in the back of the crowd. And what did he say? He said, blessed are the cheesemakers. And somebody else says, cheesemakers? Well, maybe he means all folks who do dairy products. Sometimes we're that kind of confused about what it is that Jesus is saying. I told you last week that the kingdom of God parables hint and are not always clear. They leave room for different interpretations. So I'm going to try to plant a couple of different kinds of seeds in you today, hoping that you will let them germinate and figure out where they fit for you. I don't think we're supposed to get the same thing out of this story. It's not crystal clear. It's not concise and precise. I started wondering if, you know, Is it the size comparison? I did enough research before I preached this sermon to realize that you can find smaller seeds that become bigger bushes. But maybe it is that the people didn't know about those. And so this is the largest contrast that they could be aware of. Why a mustard seed? Was it the smallest seed of the seeds they typically put in their garden? It's not the smallness that counts, because it could have said grains of sand. There are lots of sand. Is it the greatest contrast between starting and ending of things that they were aware of? You've seen a mustard seed? It's kind of about the size of the head of a pin. You remember what a pin looked like? Do we use pins anymore? Some folks do. Look at me like I'm crazy. All right, yeah, of course. Did you know that the mustard seed is what was referred to by Shakespeare as an eye of the newt, an eye of a newt? Well, then you've learned the one thing I'm going to give you today. The one thing I can be clear about is Shakespeare meant mustard seed when he said eye of a newt in Macbeth. It's a seed that becomes a plant that can grow as high as 12 feet. Maybe part of the point of this parable is the contrast between an insignificant seed and a fully grown plant that seed will produce. Many around Jesus would have thought Jesus' ministry was small and insignificant. But today, we can prove that sentence of insignificance wrong, because throughout the globe for 2,000 years we've been talking about Jesus. The disciples were to have confidence that their humble ministry would have great results. Maybe the story for them was that there is going to be future vindication, a future time of divine salvation that was already making its appearance. It was starting small and it was going to change the world. I kept thinking about the different ways to interpret this. If they don't understand that seeds are not dead, then this little seed that is dead comes alive and creates something big. Maybe this is the same kind of story that we hear in John when it says a seed, unless it's dead and buried, it can't produce anything. It's just a single dead seed. I don't know whether they used mustard as a spice. I don't know whether they ate the greens, so I'm not sure exactly what it is that would have been the attraction for this particular plant. But seeds in and of themselves contain this almost mysterious, mystical, magical future. Inside this little seed, something else happens. God's destiny is included and already known before it is buried and planted. Maybe each of us, before we were even born, had a future destiny and plan and giftedness that God already had. That great potential, that different future, that unknown, powerful future was already invested, already in us. The small little dead seed becomes the largest plant in the garden. It was full of potential. The largest of the plants that all of them would have known, would have called food. The kingdom of God is like this particular seed, Jesus says. The future is contained in it. It is almost miraculous in the growth to come. It will add spice and new flavor in the world. Even though it is dead, life will come from it. The kingdom of God looks like it's dead, and even from dead things sprouts great life. There are all kinds of places to go in this to try to discover what it is that God is trying to tell us about the kingdom of God. But there's something about this future and potential that is already within us, or already within humanity, already within David and Abraham and Adam. The kingdom is already in us, waiting for birth, waiting for blooming. God is already in us. And as a us, as the church, the kingdom of God is in us. We are already gifted. We are already forgiven. We are already restored, both here and now and in the future. We are already gifted blessings from God. Maybe this scripture should call us back to the minds of the disciples. What were they thinking when Jesus told them the kingdom was like a mustard seed? Could they have possibly had any idea that they were witnessing the birth of the kingdom? Maybe they could see that their numbers had been making a difference. They were starting to get small crowds. People were beginning to be healed, and the crowd had grown from 12 followers to more than 5,000 men, along with the women and children. So maybe 10,000, maybe 12 or 14,000. One teacher was making a difference before their very eyes, this one who was going to be dead and planted. Yet they could not have known what was to come. Sometimes we preachers and theologians get way too systematic and we try to define it way too precisely. And I don't think it matters. We don't have to be comprehensive or systematic in our theological thinking about the kingdom of God. I think that messes with the way Jesus taught. And sometimes it leads us off into an avenue of speculation. Fact is that we want to think in ways that a North American during the 21st century thinks and not consider the way the first century person would have been thinking in Palestine, which is the person who was taught. The kingdom of God is like this particular seed. The future is contained in it. It is almost miraculous in the growth to come. It will add spice and new flavor to the world. And even though it is dead, life springs forth. Every day, even days when people die, are Easter days, kingdom days, resurrection days. We can see Christ as the seed which birthed a church striving to become the kingdom of God. Likewise, we can see Christ as the seed which births new life in us as individuals. John 12 reminds us, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. It is a God-gifted future that we have as individuals and that the church has. There is all kinds of potential still waiting to be born for the church of the followers of Christ. The future is already present. It's all in the little seed. The future can be about fear, but maybe for us, it is more about hope. The future is God's, and for us, this means the future is pregnant with hope. And the seed bears fruit in us when love blossoms and ripens and is shared with hungry, lost children. The kingdom of God is at hand and in our hands. When we love someone unconditionally, when we feed someone, when we visit them in prison, or we go through the process of helping heal them, those things allow the kingdom of God to become present. In moments where there was death, life goes. Let us pray. God of grace and love, let your seed bear fruit in us. Let new life come out of death. Grant us a deep living hope. There are times when we look towards the future and we are filled with fear. Lord, replace that fear each time with hope, knowing that we don't need to know all the answers, that we just have to be aligned to you, that we just have to love you back and love one another. Let love be our guide. Thank you for loving and forgiving us. Help us to love each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.